Today is about the children of Israel passing through the Red Sea. We left off speaking last week about how that they were led out of Egypt. Now, that night was a night to be remembered for the Israelites. God instituted the ordinance of the Passover, and he requested them that they should keep this ordinance as an ordinance forever. We find even the Jews to this day observing this commandment that God has given unto them. And now these people, the Israelites, they went up to a place called Ramesses. And now we find that the children of Israel are going to travel. They're going to go not the shortest way to the land of Canaan, but they're going to take a long way round about. We find that God came to them and told them that they should go up by the way of the wilderness by the Red Sea. It would have been much shorter for them were they unable to go through the land of the Philistines. If they had went through the land of the Philistines, it would have only taken them 4 or 5 days, and they would have been in the land of Canaan. But now, God said that they should go round about the Philistines, because if they had entered into the land of the Philistines, the Philistines would have immediately commenced a war with them. And these people, they were in no position to have a war. They had just been delivered out of the slavery that they had been in the land of Israel, and they were accustomed to doing mason work. They used trowels, and they didn't know how to use swords. And now God, he directed them that they should go round about this country, the Philistines. God had also told them and commanded them, even when they went into Pharaoh, to plead with Pharaoh that he would let the people go 3 days' journey into the wilderness so that they could serve their God. If now they had not done this, then it would have been likewise against what God had told them to speak to Pharaoh about. And now the reason that God led them around about this way was there were many things that had to take place in this wilderness. In the first place, the Egyptians were to be drowned in the Red Sea. After this, the Israelites were to be proved. They were to be humbled. And now God likewise was going to enter into a covenant with these people. He was going to give them his laws and his ordinances, and they were to be a people that were separated unto the Lord God of heaven and earth. And now these people then, they're going round about, and they come from Ramesses, they come to Succoth. From Succoth we read they go to Etham. And now God commanded them that they should turn away from Etham, and they should encamp by the Red Sea. They were a favored people, these people, a wonderful people, for God already had shown his might and his power in the land of Egypt concerning them. He had delivered them out of their bondage and out of their servitude, and now after he had brought them out, he didn't just say to these people, now go ahead, find it the best way you can to get to Canaan. No, we find that God came and he led them. He directed Moses, gave him the information which way they should go, and Moses in turn spake to the people. And then we find that God himself gave unto these people 2 visible signs. They had a pillar of cloud by day, and a pillar of fire by night. In this, they had the visible presence of the Almighty God who was with these people. How wonderful was God then to these people? These people are a type of the Church of Christ. As these people were led out of the land of Egypt, and many wonders were done, and as God led them likewise to himself and became their leader and became their guide, so likewise He leads each and every one of his dear children out of the Egypt of this world. He delivers them out of the bondage of sin, of Satan, and of their flesh, which they serve so greedily. And he likewise becomes their leader, their guide. May I ask you a question? Has he become your leader? Has he become your guide, my hearers? These Israelites were so favored to see this cloudy pillar and likewise the fiery pillar. Every time they looked at this, they realized that God was with them. We don't have that in the church today. The Church of Christ is marching likewise towards the heavenly Canaan. But we do have what these signs showed to the Israelites. Each and every sinner that's led out of the Egypt of this world, when God begins that good work of grace in his soul or in her soul, they have the feeling presence of the Almighty God round about them. This presence is a wonderful presence, my hearers. I don't know if you ever have had it. I hope I'm speaking to some that have had something like this. It fills you with awe. It fills you with reverence. It humbles you in the dust, the presence of God round about you. Your eyes are opened so to see God in every little thing that's round about you, and that his eye is likewise upon you. You realize this every day as he leads you and as he guides you. This doesn't remain, my hearers. But in the beginning, you have this sensible presence of God round about you. Oh, you see sin like you've never seen it before. And you see this God who is so just and so holy and so righteous and who hates sin. You see him as a God who has spared you yet, who has carried you to that present moment. And oh, you feel such a love, such an affection to this God who is so visibly round about you that you wish that you never would sin anymore. Have you ever had that? Or you begin to hate sin like God hates it. Oh, my hearers, what a wonderful thing it is to have this presence round about you as you are coming up out of the Egypt of this world on the way to Canaan above. Oh, I would say to my class, pray that this God may come down round about you, and that you may know something of this presence, of this almighty friend, this faithful friend, of this covenant-keeping God who never leaves and never forsakes those people whom he has favored with his presence. His presence may disappear at times. It may seem to you as if he has left you, as if he has forsaken you, as if he has no more thoughts about you. All this happens, my hearers. So often it happens in the course of our journey towards Canaan that we fear because of our sins, because of our transgressions, because we have forsaken God ourselves, that God will forsake us and that he will leave us. And we do not realize his sensible presence round about us anymore. We find sin so strong and our nature so on fire towards sin and so inclined to go along with it. And we find ourselves falling sometimes headlong into sin. And then inside, oh, we couldn't describe to you what goes on in there. It's all done with such a person. He can't believe that God would ever have anything to do with such a creature. And still, my hearers, God did not take away the pillar of cloud by day. He did not take away the pillar of fire by night. He does not take away his presence from that soul whom he has once entered into. And now we find that the children of Israel are told by God to turn back. Now, this is odd. They're going forward and now they have to turn back. They make a turn and they come to a place where God told them to go to. They were to encamp before the Red Sea, a place called Pi-Hahiroth. This, according to the commentary, is a narrow pass which leads to the border of the Red Sea. From this, they were to encamp before a place called Migdol. This Migdol was a tower. And there they camped, and likewise they were before a place called Baal Sephon. This Baal Sephon, according to the commentary, I'm quoting it, they say that this was a church. This was a temple of an idol god. This king, Pharaoh, he had let this temple be built there. He believed in idol gods. And this temple was an observatory tower for sailors and mariners who traveled over the Red Sea. They could view the Red Sea from this particular point. And now the children of Israel were called to encamp in this particular place. And now we go back into the land of Egypt, and we find that the people said unto the king, Pharaoh, that these Egyptians had fled from the land of Egypt. And now God had said unto Moses that he would harden Pharaoh's heart, and that he would get honor upon Pharaoh and upon all his host. And now God placed the Israelites in this predicament. They were in between two mountains, and they were likewise encamped before the Red Sea. And Pharaoh, he heard where these Israelites were. And he gloated. He thought, now I have them. You can't understand this, King Pharaoh. You would think that he would have left the children of Israel go. So many judgments, so many plagues had come down upon him and upon his people. And even the very last plague, God had stepped into almost every house in Egypt, and one was dead in almost every house. And still, we find this Pharaoh, after he himself had experienced the loss of his firstborn, that he now intends to pursue after the Israelites. And he spake unto his men, unto his servants, and they likewise said, why have we done this thing, to let the Israelites go out of our land from serving us? And he immediately, Pharaoh, he gets his chariot, and he calls on all his other men to get their chariots together. He chose 600 chariots and all the chariots in the land of Egypt, and captains over each one of them, and they began to pursue after the Israelites. Now you would say, why did he want to do this? He actually thrust them out of his land. He was only too glad to get rid of them because he feared that he would be killed himself. And now he gathers his host together to pursue after them. Who is he a type of? He's a type of each person that's still under the dominion and power of Satan. Pharaoh is a type of Satan and all his host. We see what a hard heart does, my hearers. Sad to say, that's what he had. You know, you may have had a hard heart and still have it. But there have been times probably that your heart was softened too, and that by God himself in this way. He brought judgments down upon you. He brought them into your family. He afflicted you or your wife or your children. And you so clearly saw the hand of God in it. And then maybe God even came into your family with a death. That's what he did in the land of Egypt. And when this takes place, my hearers, then even worldlings, they become sorry. They become grieved. Not because of their sins. Not because they have sinned against God. No. But they're grieved because these troubles have come upon them. And they're seeking for reasons why. And there are plenty of reasons why. But after these troubles, my hearers, are taken away, then what do such people do while they're in their troubles? Or they're so grave, they're so concerned. Or you watch such creatures, And actually, you would begin to think that there was something going on in such a person. But just as soon as the troubles are taken away, you find such people again doing just like Pharaoh. What did he do? He started to pursue after the Israelites again. And so sinners, they begin again to go on their course of sin, madly rushing towards destruction. Notice, no matter what plague or what affliction or what you may experience, even a death in the family, if God does not come in with it, my hearers, on you go on your merry course towards eternity. How true is the type of Pharaoh also concerning every person that's still under the dominion of Satan. And as Pharaoh came with all his host, and he had a mighty host, and he was gloating. Oh, he thought, I will pursue, I will overtake, and I will bathe my sword in their blood. They can't get away from me. They're in between this pass, and the Red Sea is in the front of them. I'll surely overcome them. What his purposes were, what he intended to do, whether he was going to take them all back to Egypt or whether he was going to kill them all, it doesn't say. But he went. And now, my hearers, these Israelites, they went out with a high hand. And now when they got in this place, they lifted up their eyes and they saw Pharaoh and all his host pursuing after them. And then we find the Israelites, they were filled with fear, and they cried unto the Lord. And then they went to Moses, and they said unto Moses, were there no graves in Egypt, that you took us out of Egypt and brought us into this wilderness to die? Was not this our voice to thee when we were still in the land of Egypt? Let us alone, let us serve the Egyptians. It would have been better for us than to die in this wilderness. Oh, my hearers, how come that these people are talking like this? Had they not had the visible signs of the presence of God with them? Had not God done wonderful things for these people? And now when they seen this host pursuing them, oh, they were filled with fear, and they began to cry to God. Was there fear, and was there cry by faith? No, my hearers, it was not. Oh, they were filled with fear that the Egyptians were going to slay them, were going to kill them. And therefore, they cried out to God. And then we find that these people, they murmured, they complained to Moses because he had led them out into the wilderness, which they thought was going to be the graveyard for them. Oh, my hearers, are the spiritual Israelites of today any different than these Israelites? Have I any spiritual Israelites amongst my hearers? I wish I had so many of them. I love to talk to them people, because I have some experience of how it goes, my hearers. Well, these Israelites are just like the Israelites of our day, spiritually. Oh, God has led these creatures out too. They have experienced many wonderful things, and God has been with them, and God has graciously spoke to them and comforted them and encouraged them, and he is leading them and guiding them just like he did to the Israelites of old. And now what happens, my hearers, may not be that you're very long on the way, and soon all those good feelings and all those outgoings of heart that you had to the Lord, they all seem to dry up. And then, oh, Satan with a host of lust, of desires after the world, oh, Satan, he pursues such a soul. Oh, he can't let loose of any soul that's leaving the dominion under which he is king. And he pursues such sinners. And all my hearers, he is a strong foe. You can't combat this foe. And when you are given to see your enemies pursuing you, and you having no power, no strength against them, and then you become filled with fear. Oh, you fear. What do you fear? Why, you fear that everything is wrong. You fear that it's wrong with your soul, that you're going to be lost. You fear that God never begun that good work in you. You fear that all these things that are coming up against you will sure overpower you and overcome you. And you begin to cry, too. You begin to cry to God, just like the Israelites. They cried to God, too, in all their fear. And my hearers, have you ever had any fear? Have you ever had any fear that you were going to lose your life? Have you ever had any fear that your soul was lost for eternity? Have you ever had any fear that God was going to be a just God for you, and no God of mercy, that he was going to consume you in his wrath? Oh, my hearers, have you ever feared that all your enemies were going to overpower you and that's it? It's all done with you? Have you ever had any fear for this great and this terrible God? Oh, my hearers, and there are so many fear nots in the Bible, and God didn't place them there for nothing. You know why he placed them there? Because he has a fearing and a trembling people. And oh, what a mercy that he has placed so many fear nots in the scripture. And my hearers, these Israelites, they complained to Moses. What did they complain about? Because he had led him out. Because he had brought him into the wilderness. You ever been there? Oh, I've been there, my hearers. Oh, yes. I know what that is. Oh, I've looked back at the world. I've looked back at my life. Why, I had an enjoyable life in sin. Oh, I served every lust that there was. Probably you're doing the same thing yet, even under a cloak of religion. I did the same thing. And you know, when God took me by hand and by heart and brought me out of it, oftentimes in secret, I'd say to God, if it isn't your work, Lord, let me go back. Let me go back in Egypt. It's better in Egypt than it is here. I ain't got anything here. I got everybody against me. My wife, my children, my family, everybody's against me. You've been there? You fear. You're despised. You're rejected of men. Oh, you wish that you were back in Egypt, serving the world, serving sin. It was better then. So your flesh says, and so the Israelites said. And then what comes upon it? Why, you think with all what you have, you're going to die yet. You're going to be lost forever. That's what they thought, the Israelites. They thought the wilderness was going to be their graveyard. That's what you think. With all your religion, with all your profession, the end of it maybe is going to be lost anyway. Never been there, my hearers? That's where the Israelites were. Just only a little while they had been delivered. They had experienced so many favors of the God of Israel. There they were. And now we find Moses, this man of God. What does he say to these people? Oh, he is the instrument used by God. He says to these people, fear not. He says, the Egyptians that you see this day, you'll never see them anymore. He says, behold the salvation that the Lord will work for you this day. Oh, my hearers, Moses, he stood there between the people. And he was a mediator. He was the man that God used to speak to these people, to speak words of comfort. Fear not. Has God ever said that to you, my hearer? Have you been filled with fear? Have you thought it was all wrong? Have you had everybody against you? Or did you think it would have been better for me if I went back into the world and served sin? Just like these Israelites. And did God come to you by the mouth of one of his servants, or maybe by his own word, and say to you, fear not, all this host that you see, They're going to be drowned. They're going to be consumed. There's one that consumed them, namely Christ. Oh, what a blessing it is if in this life God comes to us and says, fear not. He uses his servants for that many times. And what a mercy it is to have one of these fear nots in this life. You can always come back to it. And now God speak unto these people by the mouth of Moses, that the Egyptians that they saw, they would see no more. They were to behold the salvation that he would work for them that day. Oh, what a comfort this was for these believing Israelites. There were many of the mixed multitude, maybe, that didn't believe this. But the majority believed what Moses spake unto them. And then Moses, we read, he likewise was spoken to by God. God says to him, wherefore criest thou unto me? Say unto the children of Israel that they go forward. You don't read it, Moses was crying to God. You don't read a thing about it. Where was this going on? Inside. Or you can make up your mind that the heart of Moses was going out to the living God, that God would work salvation for these people. Your heart ever go out like that? In the midst of your duties, maybe in the daytime when you're working, you see sin all around you. You see so many enemies, you're afraid. And inwardly, you're crying to God to keep you, to protect you. You're so weak and so helpless against yourself and against Satan and against sin that inwardly you're saying, oh, Lord, keep me. Lord, watch over me. That's your prayer? Nobody knows it. Only God. And God knew what was going on in the heart of this man, Moses. And now he was commanded to speak to these Israelites and say, go forward. How could they go forward? See, they couldn't go sideways. The mountains were on each side. Couldn't go backwards. There were the Egyptians with their host. And forward, there was the Red Sea. They were in a trap. There was no way of escape. Go forward. How are you going to go forward? You ever been in that position, my hearers? Has God ever brought you into a trap? You couldn't go back. You couldn't go sideways. You couldn't go anyway. You couldn't go forward either. What has to happen then? Why, a wonder of God has to happen. He has to open the way, or otherwise, it's a lost matter. You ever been brought there? Oh, I've been there, my ears. Oh, yes. Couldn't go on any further. Couldn't go back. Didn't want to go back. I knew going back was going to hell. That's the end of it. Couldn't go sideways either. And couldn't go forward. Didn't see no way of escape. And then God comes. That's when God comes, my hearers. When there's no way anymore for us, then God opens the way. That's the way he did with the Israelites. And he told Moses, tell the children of Israel to go forward. Forward. Against all obstacles, against everything that's in their way, forward they must go. And then he tells them to stretch out his hand over the sea. And as he stretched out his hand over the sea, the Lord made a strong east wind to come up all that night. And as this wind blew, it made a pathway through the sea. The waters started to stand up on each side. And dry ground appeared through the Red Sea. This Red Sea is an arm of the Indian Ocean. It's 1,400 miles long. At some points it's 15 miles wide, and other places 150. And now, my hearers, God opened the way through this sea. Oh, my hearers, I wish you all loved this God. Our God, he can open the way through the sea. He can shut the mouths of lions. He can turn the sun backward. Or he can do so many things. He can even cause, if you were cast into the fire, that not a hair of your head was singed as he did with the three boys. Oh, what a God we have. You love this God? Is he your friend? Is he your refuge? Oh, my hearers. And these people, they had a wonderful leader, a wonderful guide. And how we find that the Israelites, they, obedient to this command, entered into this pathway that God had opened for them. And when they entered into them, this cloudy pillar that was in the front of them, it says in the Bible, and the angel of God that was in the front of the host of the Israelites went around to the back. The angel of God was none other but Jesus Christ himself, who was leading these people. And he stood in between the Egyptians and the Israelites. He gave light unto the Israelites, and he was darkness unto the host of the Egyptians. Oh, there's a truth here too, my hearers. God is light, and Jesus Christ, he was the light of the world. And he it is that enlightens every soul that's born again. And now a person that's an Egyptian serving the world is in darkness and loves darkness and will remain in darkness until Christ himself becomes their light. And now the host of Israel begin to go through the Red Sea. Don't you think you were afraid to go into that sea? I think I and you would. Have you seen two walls of water on each side and just a dry spot going through? I think we'd turn back. But you see, they went by faith. They entered through this pathway by faith. And as they went, the walls of water just separated, and forward they went. What does this teach us? Water signifies troubles and afflictions. And now when a person is born again, led on the narrow way, they will experience troubles. They will experience afflictions in their pathway towards this heavenly kingdom. They will have them, there's no question about it. But onward they will go. They will be on each side of them. And God will be with them in their afflictions and in their troubles. And now we find that Pharaoh and his host, they pursued these Israelites. And when they came to this place where the Israelites went through on dry land, did they stop? Did they stop to consider there never was a pathway like this? Did they stop to think God was opening it up for them people? Onward they rushed, oh, a type of sinners, madly in love with sin, on the way to destruction. They care not. They are indifferent. They don't think that God might meet with them there and that their lives may be cut off. Type of Pharaoh and the Egyptians, they rushed madly in, and they followed the Israelites through this pathway in the sea. And now, my hearers, the Israelites arrived on the other side. And now God speak unto Moses, that he should stretch forth his hand over the sea, so that the waters would come together, and that he would be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his hosts. Oh, what an awful thing to do. Don't you think it was for a man like Moses to stretch out his hand, knowing what was going to take place, knowing that all those Egyptians would be drowned, and still it was the command of God. In this likewise, Moses is a type of the law. There is no mercy in the law. The law demands satisfaction, demands justice. And here the justice of God was going to be glorified upon the enemies of the Israelites. And now as they went through the sea, the Egyptians, God looked through the pillar of fire down upon them, and he began to trouble them. The wheels of their chariots began to come off, and they started to sink in the mire, and they couldn't continue any further. And then they began to realize that God was against them. Then they said to each other, God is fighting for the Israelites. Let's flee before him and before the Israelites. And they began to run back. Oh, what consternation. Oh, what trouble these Egyptians were in. Oh, my hearers. I'm thinking about a certain day when this will take place with so many. I hope not with any one of my hearers. Oh, what an awful thing it'll be. Oh, you can't go on fighting against God, my hearers. You can't go on making war against heaven. There's a day coming when God will satisfy his justice upon you. And these Egyptians, they began to talk with each other, and they tried to help each other with their wagon wheels, but to no avail. Finally, they left them and began to run back. But now, my hearers, the waters came together by the commandment of God. And these waters, they covered the Egyptians. Pharaoh and all his host, they sank in the Red Sea like lead in the mighty waters. Probably they attempted to swim, but they couldn't. The waves were so rough, the current was so strong. It just carried them away, and every one of them were drowned in the Red Sea. And oh, my hearers, the next morning we find the Israelites looking upon the sea. And on the other shore, there lay probably thousands and thousands of Egyptians whose bodies had been washed up on the shore. What a sight that must have been for the Israelites. All they seen in this, what God was doing for them. Oh, how he had, in mercy towards them, cast all their enemies into the sea. Oh, you can make up your mind that these people, they feared God then, and they obeyed the voice of Moses, his servant. And we find in the next chapter, Miriam and the rest of the women taking up a timbrel, and they are singing praises to that God who delivered their people out of the hands of the Egyptians. Oh, they went through this Red Sea on dry ground. And my hearers, so likewise, will each and every saint see in that great day of accounts all their enemies cast down into that awful pit of hell where the worm dieth not and the fire shall never be quenched. Oh, what a sight that will be for every saint who has been given to enter into glory above, and in through Christ who triumphed over all their enemies. My time is gone, my hearers. Next week, the Lord willing, we will continue our lessons on the children of Israel. The Lord bless the feeble explanation to your immortal souls. That's all for today.